Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Monday, May 17th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jessica Mendoza, reading for Yvonne Zipp.
And I'm Mark Sappenfield.
After being canceled in 2020, graduation ceremonies are taking on new meaning this year. Each one offers recognition for hard work, challenges overcome, and hopes for new beginnings. But LaTanya Young's story brought the Monitor's Yvonne Zipp to tears. Miss Young is a mom of three who worked as a hairdresser and drove for Uber to take care of her boys. Since she was a girl, she dreamed of becoming a lawyer, she explained to a passenger she picked up one evening. She had been working toward her associate degree when a serious car accident derailed her plans, and about $700 in unpaid fees kept her from returning to Georgia State University. The passenger, Ken Esch, gave her a $150 tip and urged her not to give up. The next Monday, he paid off the $693, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported in 2020. His generosity and faith in her were the catalyst she needed, she told the AJC. Miss Young earned her associate degree before the pandemic hit, with Mr. Esch there to cheer her on. It's not how you start, but how you finish in life, she said then. A pandemic and two hospitalizations didn't stop her from persevering. This month, she received her bachelor's degree from GSU in criminal justice, and Mr. Esch was there to celebrate with her. He now sits on the board of a nonprofit that offers scholarships to older women to return to college, an invitation that came from his generosity to Miss Young, who received a scholarship from the group. She's kind of a shining example of being able to push through and do it, he told the AJC. Next up for Miss Young, a new job. Then, law school. Now, today's stories. Our first story. For the Islamist movement Hamas, which rules Gaza, war with Israel offered an opportunity to claim the mantle of Palestinian defenders of Jerusalem. It's a political victory, but with a cost.
Jerusalem, a focal point of the Palestinian struggle, holds significance for the wider Arab and Muslim world as home to one of Islam's three holy sites. So, when Hamas escalated a crisis in Jerusalem that saw Palestinians there clashing with Israeli police and settlers into a war of rockets and airstrikes, it was also seizing on a way to reverse its political fortunes. Despite the high human cost and physical destruction of the Gaza war, analysts say Hamas is building an image as the defender of Jerusalem and expanding its support base beyond the Gaza Strip. And it's rendering its rival, Fatah, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas as mere spectators who are increasingly politically irrelevant. For the first time in many years, Hamas is using its rockets for a non-Gaza-related issue, Jerusalem, says Khalid Al-Khoub, a Hamas expert and professor of Middle Eastern studies at Northwestern University, Qatar, in an email interview. Symbolically, nationally, and religiously, such a connection is massive, he says. Hamas is coming out of its Gaza cocoon to say, I speak in the name of Palestinians, and I'm the defender of the most sensitive issue of all, Jerusalem. This story was reported by Taylor Luck in Amman, Jordan, and Fatima Abdul Karim in Ramallah, West Bank, for The Monitor.
Chile's current constitution does not recognize the nation's indigenous groups, but the representation at the table where the country's charter will be rewritten may signal hope for a new model of governance across Latin America.
Chile has begun a historic process of writing a new constitution following the election of a 155-person constitutional assembly over the weekend. The rewrite is already hailed as a democratic victory by activists, with the assembly made up of record numbers of women and a majority of independent members. That includes 17 seats filled by indigenous people. Chile's current constitution was written and passed during the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, something many citizens say delegitimizes the document. The idea to reform the Constitution emerged during 2019 anti-government protests that swept the nation, demanding greater respect for human rights. But in a region where environmental defenders, very often members of the indigenous communities, were killed in record numbers in 2020 alone, the strong presence of indigenous voices in rewriting Chile's constitution serves as a beacon of hope. Many are optimistic it will go beyond that to become a model for Latin American governance. It means we are involved in high-level politics, and we believe we can make a difference in how political parties treat our communities in Chile and around the world, says Ingrid Conajeros. She's an educator who ran as a candidate for one of the 7 seats reserved for the Mapuche community. This story was reported by Cheris McGowan in Santiago, Chile, for The Monitor.
Black mothers in Toronto have gained ground in fighting racism in schools. Their hard-won battles have underscored how exploring what respect truly means to different people has been essential to progress.
Charlene Grant remembers the dismissiveness toward her claims of racism over many years in her children's school district north of Toronto. But she also takes pride in what's emerged, the group Parents of Black Children. POBC was founded in 2019 after a casual gathering of Black parents. "We were all professionals with jobs, multiple degrees," says co-founder Carrie Daniel. "And so many of us have had that experience of saying, oh yeah, the school thought I should be in a special class, or they thought there was something wrong with me." The group has seen significant gains, including accountability for teachers and a support structure for parents. But as the group members have sought respect for their perspectives, they have sometimes found their fight being called disrespectful and divisive. The challenge, says Robert Danish, co-author of Beyond Civility, is for people to engage in a forthright exchange of views when the status quo is rocked. He says it's so common for people to just attack and defend instead of practicing radical civility. Ms. Grant says she is careful with her own language in this fight, despite what language has been used against her. She calls this moment the awakening. "I get to see the change. I know when I'm talking to educators, they might necessarily not like me, but they do respect me." This story was reported by Sarah Miller-Yana for The Monitor.
Coastal wetlands are a vital buffer in Louisiana against storms and rising sea levels. But a state plan to restore them is provoking responses as complex as the marshy ecosystems themselves.
Terry Shelley has dealt with plenty of adversity in his long career in commercial fishing and oyster farming. But now, after devastating storms last year and the pandemic's toll on restaurant demand, he sees another big problem ahead. A state proposal would divert silt-laden Mississippi River water into the marshlands where he works, aiming to restore fast-eroding coastal wetlands. But it also would change the blend of salt and freshwater on which his oysters depend. "They know the oyster business is going to be the worst hit," he says of state project managers. Local governments in this fishing-oriented area are opposing the project, which is now in a public comment phase. The mayor of New Orleans is among the vocal supporters. Mark Davis is founding director of the Tulane Institute on Water Resources Law and Policy. He says if you don't do the project, my guess is that you won't have any recognizable fisheries within 25 years. He acknowledges the near-term challenges for people like Mr. Shelley, but he adds, if you're not reintroducing river water, you're continuing to introduce Gulf water. Productively grown oysters, they exist in a band of brackish water, and we're losing it. This story was reported by Xander Peters in Port Sulphur, Louisiana, for The Monitor.
As capacity restrictions are lifted, the pandemic's end stage is resetting supply and demand. Americans looking to go on vacation are finding hotels are booked solid and rental cars can't be found.
After spending the past year essentially housebound, many Americans are eager to travel, but that newfound yearning is presenting its own challenges. Tourist destinations that not long ago were ghost towns are suddenly facing an onslaught of visitors. Indeed, now that it seems safe to go on vacation, many Americans are wondering if they'll actually be able to, given that everyone else is trying to as well. AirDNA, a site that analyzes data from home rental sites such as Airbnb and Vrbo, says reservations made during March 2021 reached an all-time high. Rental car prices are up 30%, with some destinations seeing a 50% increase. The shortage of rental cars in Hawaii has been so acute that vacationers have resorted to renting U-Hauls. Julia Rigetti booked a house for a week in Cape Charles, Virginia for her family, but then the homeowners sold the house, taking advantage of a booming housing market. "We started looking for a place again, and there was nothing anywhere," says Ms. Rigetti, a school photographer. "We just wanted a house with a pool, and we couldn't find anything." This story was reported by Story Hinckley for The Monitor.
Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on democracy in Chile. Since the late 1980s, nearly every Latin American country has sought, in some measure, to become more democratic. Several have adopted entirely new constitutions. Now, Chile is poised to bend the arc of democracy in Latin America further. Over the last 2 days, it held elections for a new assembly tasked with replacing a constitution drafted under former military dictator General Augusto Pinochet. That 1980 constitution provided a foundation for Chile's return to democracy in 1990. In the 3 decades since, Chile has become one of the wealthiest, stablest, and least corrupt countries in the region. That growth, however, also resulted in accelerating economic inequality. Yielding to mass demonstrations nationwide, the government called for a referendum last October on whether to draft a new constitution. It garnered the support of 78% of Chileans. As a region watches, the people of Chile have set a new course toward an ageless idea: government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It is a project compelled neither by the results of war nor by an attempt to perpetuate political advantage, but by an insistence that power derives legitimacy through each individual's expectation of the common good. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Thank you for starting your week with us. If you haven't signed up yet, please join us for an online event tomorrow, Tuesday, May 18th, a masterclass in building respect across deep divides. This Respect Project event features 2 Monitor writers and is hosted by Amelia Newcomb, our managing editor. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares a spiritual basis for lasting peace that remains very relevant today. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Samantha Liney Perfas and Jeff Turton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2021.